Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Rio, welcome to another episode of the SC Report. It's all about the Teamless Tuesday today, round 7, and holy shit, there's been a lot going on. Injuries, suspensions, players returning back from suspension and injury as well. There's a whole heap of news to get through, and we've got a special guest on the podcast tonight, and maybe you'll know who he is by this. That's right. It's the one and only Anton Poser from Twitter, all over it there, and also one of the probably the biggest Warriors fans that I know. Mate, how are you? Great to have you back on the podcast.
I'm very well, mate. Thanks for having me. I'm sure everybody listening was very disappointed. They probably thought you had Dave Dobbin on the show this week. But unfortunately, you got me instead. But yeah, how's it going?
Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully you know a little bit more about Supercoach than Davey Boy, mate.
Yeah, well, if I don't know more than him, then I mustn't be doing something right.
What is Davey Dobbin up to these days?
Well, he kind of...
Another Footrot flex coming out sometime soon?
I'm not sure. He kind of looks a bit Hobbit-like in his old age, and he kind of rolls out, you know, songs for the America's Cup and the All Blacks and stuff like that, and, you know, makes a killing off singles. So maybe I'm in the wrong line of work. Just release a song every 3 years, and that's how you do it.
Well, if we're a one-hit wonder, but God, it's a good song. I love it. And you're on the podcast to talk about Supercoach, mate, and obviously to give some expert opinion of your Warriors, which unfortunately is the last game of the week. But I don't know if I really want you on the podcast based on your the opening to the Supercoach season so far this year. Your team has been tracking along pretty crappily, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, I made a few speculative calls. Should we call them? I started with Nikarima, who was going pretty well. I think in the third or fourth week, he was ranked the number one 5'8" in the comp. And then I was all too eager to tell people about that over Twitter, of course. And then he pulled out a couple of 30s, and the team went on its natural kind of up and down sort of trajectory that it inevitably goes on and takes us all for a ride. So, but I'm kind of around that, you know, around the, I think... season rank is about 13,000 or something like that. So I came back from about like 35,000 about 4 weeks ago and had an absolute shocker then. But last round, I got a score of about 1136.
Nice.
Started really well. I captain Cleary straight off the bat. None of this VC business because of, you know, mates like Saab and stuff on the bench. I was a bit worried about those guys. I kind of thought, nah, I'm going to go with my gut. I think Cleary's going to get the highest score, so I'm just going to go straight onto him. And inevitably, he got the junk time score that he always seems to get. And so that was good. But then it was all downhill from there. And I saw a lot of people over Twitter, you know, were posting similar stories of woe. Some people had Simonson in their team and others... you know, kind of front rowers like Junior Paulo or Tokaaho were notably down or injured or whatever. So, the second half of the weekend, I think, was a little bit more deflating. But if you were lucky enough to get on some of those really good pod players and you kind of had them in your side, then I think it was a really good week to rise up the rankings. But unfortunately, I was middle of the pack.
Yeah, it was a bit like that, wasn't it? It's kind of the Cleary captain or not, or if you went with Fifita. And then there's a few other just horrible scores in the centre wing, which has been just a pain point for everybody so far this year. And a few of those, well, definitely Simonson is going to be missing this week. Fusatua is back, but we need to start strengthening that centre wing position. I'm sure we're going to talk about over the show. Look, mate, I think you're going okay. You're still within that top 14,000 all right now. You've got the buyers to come, and I think you'll be all right, mate. So just stick in there, and hopefully a few of your pop players like Cody and Co and whoever you pick going forward can get a ton or whatever. And I think there's a heap of trades that need to be made, and injuries and suspensions. So how about we just get straight into those now, mate? Because I can't recall. Well, I don't think we've had a week so far where we've been just hit all at once by a whole heap of news. So let's come straight into it. All right, injuries. Let's start off the huge news today. Pappy out for 1 week, although it could be 1 to 2 with a bit of a bung shoulder. They were going to play, but obviously not going to risk him against your boys, mate. You must be a bit happy about that.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit annoying, actually, because I was hoping for a bit of a fair fight, but now that they've lost their fullback, I feel like might be a bit like shooting a fish in a barrel, I think. But I'm only kidding. No, it's... obviously we're up against one of the form sides in the comp this round, so that is something I'm quite pleased about. You know, well, I'm all for player welfare.
Look, I think we're going to be on the. It could be some breaking news throughout this podcast as well, because the injuries and suspensions, they seem to be running pretty hot right now. It's just all happening. So if there is, we'll bring it to light. So by the time people do listen to this podcast, it might be a little bit out of date, but we're running as things are at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night, so hopefully we're not too far away. Second on our list is Brenko Lee. Unfortunately, got injured in the Q Cup last week, out for 3 to 4 weeks with a calf injury. I know I'm holding him in my draft leg, so I'll be looking to probably move him on. Josh Mansour, who's I think you can say that he's transferred to South, just hasn't really not gone to plan. Was an absolute stud over the past couple of seasons to the Panthers, but this year, he's really fallen in a heap, to be honest. And now he's going to miss the next month with a hamstring injury. So that's a shocker there. Josh Hodgson, who had played okay, I'd say, this year, he's going to be missing from the Raiders for 2 to 3 weeks with calf injury. So there's a whole heap of changes in that Raiders side, and we'll get to that when we dissect the team shortly. And Bailey Simonson, so he's out for 1 week with a HIA. So that means that's one less AE. Nightmare that we have to worry about, thank God. And I think he's around about 230K, so you can probably just stash him on your bench. And Jackson Toppany, a guy that I brought into my side a couple of weeks, another player that won't be an AE nightmare either. He's going to be missing the next 2 weeks with bone bruising. So I'd initially thought that he was dropped, but given he's out with injury, I think that's hopefully good for his return. And I think just to clarify, one thing I got wrong on the podcast last week with the reserve player list, I think that I said that he has to disappear after week 11. That's actually not true. What it is that he can be selected in the starting side after round 11. So it's basically just from the opening rounds until then, has to be picked on the bench, but there's no holding back with him after that. So hopefully he gets a better run with it as we move along. But are there any other injuries that I've missed there, mate, or have we captured them all?
They're the main ones, I think, that are kind of super coach relevant. So yeah, I reckon we just we roll on through, because yeah, some of those ones as well. Simonson's actually a bit of a blessing in disguise, to be honest. I had him in my starting lineup last week for a nice big fat 11, which wasn't great. So like a lot of people, I think, you know, kind of shoring up that centre wing is something that we're keen to do pretty fast. And also, if you're looking to pull the VC loop, you know, guys like that can really make you question whether it's worth doing or not. So Simonson having a week off is actually a blessing for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, look, I copped his AE score last week, taking the Cleary loop, and I mean that wasn't too bad, because he was actually in my starting 17. So considering that I've moved him out, I've ended up with his score anyway. So I probably would have been stuck with the same thing, and then copying Fifita's captaincy score, which was nowhere near what Cleary had produced. Okay, let's move straight on to suspensions.
Have you been a bad boy?
Have you been a bad boy, Anton? Well, these boys have been. Tino, well, he's been a little bit up and down, I'd say, to start the season, and he's now going to miss the next 2 weeks through suspension. So I think it's time to say goodbye. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's one of those guys who's like, he's really frustrating because he's almost at his starting price where he started, and his potential is really kind of is really high. It's almost like Nelson Asafa Solomona when he starts back for the Storm. If he goes over for a try, he could score a ton, you know. But then, you know, there's every opportunity sometimes that he gets shifted out to an edge or something, and he scores in the 30s, and it's just one of those really awkward players to have in your side. And at this point in the season, I'm kind of looking to have a bit more certainty around the players. But for me, I don't think he's a priority sell. His price isn't going to change. He's got a fairly high break even from memory. I think it's over 100. So his price isn't going to change for now. And I think with the injuries, and obviously, you know, the injury to Pappenhausen, for example, most people have him. So there's a lot of other positions that everybody's looking to shore up or move players out because of injury. So for me, I'm in a position where I can afford to hold him this week, but next week I reckon he's gone.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be moving him out, but there's a bit of think music to happen there. I thought the TKO was going to miss as well, but he's been named, and we'll get to that. So it changes things up a little bit. And there's a few other team changes that move things along. So, yeah, I might be holding for 1 week with a downgrade or something going forward, but we'll see. Now, the guy that I think's taken the mantle from Paul Gallen is the grubbiest man in rugby league, Latrell Mitchell, facing tribunal as we speak, or at 9 p.m. So probably a little bit too late for us, but he's looking like he's going to miss either 1 or 4 weeks. So can't believe 3 charges, and I don't think you got 1 penalty against him last week. So what is going on there?
It's a weird one. I was all too quick to defend him as well, because I love me some lovely Latrell. I think off the field and just as a player, I love watching him and stuff. But then a couple of those ones, I was like, ooh, Latrell, you won't want to watch that one back, especially he paid the fines, I think, like, you know, the kicking thing, and there was something else as well. But there was that strike he did on Nofaluma, and where he got him with it, you know, with the back of his hand pretty much. And it just looked like he knew exactly where he was, I reckon, you know, and it's going to be pretty hard to get off that. But, he, you know, he's fighting it. So, I mean, he obviously thinks he's got a chance, but, you know, when there's 3-in-1 game, it's not a great look. But, I mean, I had him as my fullback, and I've been stoked with that call for the whole of this year. With the news that he's out for at least 1 week, he was always a sell for me this week anyway, because I got rid of Tedesco a couple of weeks ago before his price dropped.
Huge.
Yeah, I sold him to Pappenhausen and made a bit of money off that, off the switch. So it was, I just thought with the amount of injuries that they had, I didn't see them maintaining the same sort of attack that they had over the previous 2 weeks. So I made that call. Ended up being quite a good one. But now that Mitchell's out, I think, you know, time's come to, you know, find someone else, and everyone seems to be looking at Tom Trbojevic, don't they?
Well, we're going to get onto that soon, but yeah, but Latrell, just tidy yourself up, mate. It's a horrible look, and particularly that back heel towards the head, just gross. Anyway, I hope he cops the 4 weeks. Hopefully, that teaches him a bit of a lesson. I know he's still a young boy, but yeah, it's pretty gross, and he needs to sharpen himself up. Aiden Tolman out for a week. And speaking about grubs, a guy that's probably going to be pretty close to joining the Mount Rushmore of grubs by the time he finishes his NRL career, Jack Hetherington. What a surprise. Suspended for 5 weeks.
Well, Warriors fans must be really happy about this, because when he came over as a lone player last year, we've been lacking a little bit of mongrel in the pack, and we've been lacking a real enforcer who kind of, you know, says follow me type thing. And so when we had him, we were like, yeah, okay, yeah, he's a bit rough around the edges, and he's probably going to spend about a third of the year on the sidelines, but this is really great. It's not really great. Like, it sucks, and plus, like, it puts the team under pressure and stuff, and I think we really dodged a bullet there. A lot of people wanted him to sign full-time and all that sort of thing, but, you know, when we got Fenua Blake, I think that was kind of, you know, that's kind of who he's the sort of player that we needed. He's out injured now, but, man, Hetherington, he really doesn't do himself any favours whatsoever.
Yep. Well, I agree. And particularly the Bulldogs, they're struggling as it is. They can't really cop this. So he's gone, and that causes quite a few changes in the Bulldogs side, which we're going to dissect very soon. Next guy, Paul Momorowski, who has been one of the surprises this year at the Panthers and played quite well. So he's facing tribunal as well tonight. I think that that case is ongoing right now, and hopefully we'll have some news throughout the podcast. 0 to 3 weeks he's looking at. And the last guy on the list is Victor Radley. So he's also facing the tribunal tonight. So who knows? We could have 2 out of 3 possibly, although Victor Radley might not have as much super coach ramifications as some of the others that we've mentioned. So I think that covers us for suspensions, mate. We've got so much to talk about in the team. So without further ado, let's just jump straight into it. Panthers versus Knights Thursday night at BlueBet Stadium. So how about we talk about the Panthers and Appy Corriso and Dylan Edwards. They've been named on an extended bench, but apart from that, there's been no changes. And what was a relatively surprising encounter against the Broncos last Thursday night? Was that more of a Panthers thinking they're a little bit too good, or the Broncos finally show up for what?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think it was a bit of both. I think, you know, the Panthers have been flying. They've been getting away with playing, you know, kind of all right footy for about 50 minutes and then, you know, turning the afterburners on and scoring, you know, 20, 30 points. So I think when they, you know, had the Broncos the way that they've been tracking along, I thought they kind of thought, oh, you know, let's play a bit of footy, chuck it around sort of thing. But right from that opening set, I did my back last week, so I watched pretty much every game. I was lying flat on my back. I watched the whole lot, and I actually really enjoyed this game. Matt Lodge in particular, he was getting off the line so quickly, and he was right up in their faces from that and that opening about three sets, and that set the tone for the Broncos a little bit. And you just saw the Panthers kind of going, okay, well, right, how do we adjust to this sort of thing? And in the end, they had the class to put them away. But, you know, I think it was maybe a little bit of a shock to them. So I expect them to bounce back pretty strongly this week. And I think that was a bit of a kick up the bum for them. You know, that's no discredit to, you know, the Broncos, because I think they played their best game of the season by far. And that's kind of the level where they need to be at each week. I must say, though, when they were playing, I felt sorry for poor old Anthony Milford. Just sitting there watching the team play the best that they have in a long, long time and just thinking, like, well, maybe the Q Cup's the best place for me after all.
You know? Yeah, I don't think he played that well on the weekend as well. But anyway, we digress. So for the Panthers, I mean, the boys are going to talk about it tomorrow, but we can steal their thunder a little bit. Charlie Staines, for me, is just an absolute pain in the ass to own. If it wasn't for that break even under 30, I'd be looking to ship him out this week and still might. But he's just not relevant at the moment. And being there in the game live last week, he's so slight, and he's got a lot of development still in his body, and he just got ragdoll a couple of times. So I think he's just a fair way away from doing anything. I tell you what, Matt Burton looks at an awesome player, particularly in person as well. It's just super impressive. But yeah, I think that's really all we need to touch on with the Panthers. You got Paul Momorowski, which was spoken about, who could miss. But the rest of the players were spoken to death about, so we might just skip along now to the Knights. Yeah. So a couple of interesting things here. Obviously, Ponga back in a big, big way last week, 160 points. He's, I think that was his second game back from injury, and he's obviously starts there again. Brody Jones was quite good as well. But he shifts to the bench, unfortunately.
He
was good, and he's on the bubble as well, I think, either this week or next. So people might be looking at him given his price, but given he's named at number 17, you're probably not going to be able to pick him, or there's going to be other better options. What are your thoughts with the Knights? Anyone there stand out to you?
Well, no, not really. I mean, Mitch Barnett showed that he doesn't need the kicking duties to get it done. He's just a bit of a gun this year. Watson playing 13. He's been named there plenty of times this year, but he actually finally got to play there and knocked out a good 60-odd pretty much all through base, which was pretty good. There's young Musgrave, who's been named on the wing, and he's been named on merit over Shibasaki. I mean, that doesn't say much, but he's
Well, yeah, I was about to say, like, is that a win or you just have to get out of bed?
Yeah, well, yeah. Poor old Shibasaki. Anyway, I'm still having flashbacks to starting the season with him last year over Kurt Mann. But anyway, I digress there. So that's a new name for me. I don't know too much about him, and I don't know how secure his job is there. But I think there's probably other targets that we're going to see over the next few weeks that might be more appealing with better job security than him right now. So it's a wait and see for me.
Let's move along then to the next game, Titans versus the Rabbitohs, Friday night, Cbus Super Stadium, Gold Coast at 6 p.m. So that, I think that shapes as a pretty cracking way to start the weekend, mate. I'm just imagining cracking a beer at about 5:30, 5, who am I kidding? It's going to be 3:30 in the afternoon and sitting back and watching this one, it's going to be a cracker. So for the Titans, we've already spoken about Tino, replaced by Fotowaker at prop, and then Sam McIntyre comes onto the bench to replace Fotowaker. Ethudon is back. He replaces Jonas Pearson on the wing. They're the changes for the Titans. I mean, I'm almost prepared just to ignore completely last week. Down scores from a whole heap of them, excluding David Fifita, who's just an absolute beast this year. But the likes of Brian Kelly, who scored sub-40s, I wouldn't be taking too much notice of that. But I also wouldn't probably be targeting this week as well with a challenging matchup against the Titans. It gets a bit easier next week. So anything there for the Titans for you?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Peachy fan, to be honest. I kind of always have been. His form hasn't been great maybe last season, but I think with his new role kind of hovering around the middle, he just seems to kind of, always be snooping to poke his nose through and create those attacking opportunities. So if you were lucky to get in on him a couple of weeks ago, then that's great, and you're seeing a wing. But he's certainly someone I've got on my watch list, but I can't quite get him in just yet. I've got other. He's in that kind of mid range category for the centre wing that I've got a circle around about three or four guys type thing that I'm watching over the next few weeks. But he's certainly one that I'm interested in.
I mean, classic Peachy, right? 36, 101, 39. So he's probably set to ton up this weekend. Has a break even of 36. Importantly, is a dual centre wing, second row forward as well. So I think, as I have said previously, you've just got to stick fat with him. I don't think you can't be, you've got to trade him in and just leave him there and just ride that roller coaster. If you're going to be bringing him into your side. So no, I agree with that. David Fifita, just saw how important he is in a losing side, just incredible. But I think that's probably all we need to cover with the Titans this week. Let's move along to the Rabbitohs, because there's a shitload of changes there. Latrell is going to miss a week, could miss up four. So that sees Alex Johnson start at fullback. Josh Mansour out. We said that he's out for up to a month. And Dan Gagai shifts to a wing. Now, that's interesting because Gagai's been really impressive this year, albeit last week was pretty lucky to score that try, I think, because other than that, he would have had a pretty dud score. But he's been racking up a ton of base in the centres. So unfortunate for new owners or owners that have held him from the start of the season, because he's probably going to lose a bit of that base over the coming weeks whilst Josh Mansour is out. And the only other change is Jacob Host dropping out for the Koala Man, and he's been promoted to the starting second row. What piques your interest here? I mean, I'll just start and just say that I think Cody Walker is a player to watch, definitely with Latrell out. He could go gangbusters over the next few weeks.
Well, just on that, I've got a bit of mail on Walker. He was spotted training at fullback today. So if that happens, if he starts at fullback, I expect Alec Johnson to move to the wing, which would push Dane Gagai back to centre and Masters out of the side. And I think someone like Hawkins could be set for a debut from the bench. So that's a bit of Wacko's whispers. Can't claim that. That's his. If he gets moved to fullback, you know, you can expect a lot of those sweeping plays. Obviously, Benji comes straight into 5-8. And Cody Walker will come sweeping out the back and just doing those lovely cutout balls. Or if he sees the line himself, you can just imagine him, you know, putting his ears back and just going for it. So, I mean, you know, we saw last week the Titans got exposed a little bit in and around the edges. So I don't know. I kind of feel like this is if I'm a Cody Walker owner, I'm pretty happy about this, because it takes one major playmaker out of the equation for hogging stats. But that's one thing I noticed. Also Kuala Matangi as well. He's a player that I know a lot of people got on at the start of the season as a value buy, just to, you know, for that kind of that value option on the sidelines. And I think if you held on to him, you know, this is good, because Host has been pushed out of the side completely. He's not on the bench. Having said that, I'm not quite sure where Hawkins plays. I think he might be an edge back rower. If that's the case, it might take some minutes off him, but starting spots are starting spots. So there could be some value there and some reward for those who held. And Mansour out. Yeah, it's a funny one, Josh Mansour, eh? Because when you're actually watching the games, it looks like he's doing a lot of things right. It looks like he's getting involved. It looks like he's running the ball hard. He's doing all these things, but it just doesn't seem to equate to Supercoach scores. And he's not getting those line breaks, and he doesn't seem to be breaking through the tackles as often as he used to. And a lot of it, I think, is because there's a lot more lateral movement that comes from the Bunnies in the way that they play. Whereas with the Panthers, he was coming onto the ball a lot harder, or running it from far deeper. So, I'm not sure. I certainly don't think he's a proposition this year for Supercoach, and it's a bit of a shame because he was always fun to own in the past.
And for Cameron Murray owners, they finally got some attacking stats last week, so that was a huge bonus for them. I know that they've been waiting a long time for that. And outside of that, the only player above 70 points was Thomas Burgess, and that was thanks to that golden point try, incredible finish to the game. Moving on to the Eels versus the Broncos. Oh, what's going to happen here at TIO Stadium? Darwin, 7:55 in Darwin. Jeez. It's AFL territory. What's going to happen there? The Eels. So what's going on? So Ryan Madison been named in reserve. So it's been very annoying for owners. He's been named at second row, and then about 10 minutes before the game out. And then your boy, Papali'i, he's just been absolutely firing number 12 on the edge. So how do you feel as a Warriors fan, mate?
I'm not one of those Warriors fans who goes, oh, see, well, we let him get away. Oh, you know, I'm never like that with players that go on and do well somewhere else. Like, at the end of the day, he wasn't playing like that for us. He was under Steve Kearney, and that I think he bulked him up to play lock. And as soon as he bulked him up, he made him the captain of the Nines team and sent him to Perth. And everyone went, is he eating a sheep over the off season? What the hell's wrong with Papali'i this year? And he looked like totally lost. And
I don't know if he's eating a sheep, mate, but he might have done something else to a sheep.
He's turning into one too with that hairdo. It's just great to see, because he always had the talent. And what was a shame about when he really bulked up and moved into the middle was where he was good on the edge when he first started in his first season with the Warriors was he had this really good agility. So when he got the ball, he didn't just sort of maintain his line. It was really quick footwork. And because he's kind of small, he just seems to get around that first arm of the tackle. And he's just got really good skills as well. And we're seeing that now. He seems to be back to his best. And he's got a strong running game. And I don't think they can keep him out of the starting lineup. So he's really expensive now with the two double, hundreds in a row. It's kind of hard to get on now, but I can't blame anyone who wants to. He's going to play round 13. And the Madison issue is a pain, because I remember when he was at the Tigers, something like this happened to him as well, where he had this head knock. And I was one of those guys who's like, no, he'll be right. So I kind of held him. That 1 or 2 weeks ended up being about 5 weeks. And I had a guy.
And the Roosters as well.
Yeah. And so you end up with this guy who's worth like $500,000 plus sitting on your sideline, not scoring you any points whatsoever. So I don't know. If I'm a Madison owner, I haven't sold by now. There's one, you know, one mode of thinking. It's like, well, I've held this long, I might as well keep going. I don't know. I don't agree with that. I reckon there's so much value out there right now, and there's so many players, even like a Cameron Murray right now. You can make $100,000 on that trade, and he's a starting lock at the Bunnies, who are a really attacking side. You know, there's lots of options. So if it was me, I'd be selling. And Isaiah Papali'i, man, yeah, he's on fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you been a bad boy?
Confirmation, mate. Paul Momorowski has been a bad boy. He's been unsuccessful in the tribunal. He's going to miss 3 games. So there you go. Breaking news on the SC report. How about that, hey? Very, very good stuff.
Who needs Paul Kent?
Who needs Paul Kent? Well, I do have some breaking Cowboys news, which I will share when we come to the Cowboys as well. So hold your hats, your Cowboy hats for that one. It's coming up. Papali'i is an interesting one for me. I mean, he's so expensive now. I think it's either a shrewd move or it's just a, I don't know. He can't keep scoring tries. I think I'm just going to look off. Actually, I'm writing the buy, sell, hold article this week as well. I do have him as a buy, but he's scored 4 in the past 3 weeks, tries, that is. And look, it's that can't continue. But before kind of jump to that, conclusion. They faced the Broncos and the Bulldogs over the next 2 weeks, and then they got Manly in round 11. So that's a big watch for me, and he will cover the round 13 bye as well, or will cover their first bye. So that's pretty good for them. And I don't know, some people jumped on David Fifita last week and weren't too disappointed. What's your thoughts? Are you an advocate for a 600,000 plus Papali, or do you think that ship is well and truly sailed?
Well, I did this last week for Fifita. I basically, you know, I made a value buy somewhere else, and I made a big upgrade for David Fifita. I can't do that 2 weeks in a row. So other people might have a bit more money sitting in the bank account there, and 633 is a lot, but I do see the appeal. He's also dual flex as well, and the front row is just like murder this year. So, for example, if you were looking to upgrade a Toke Aho to Papali'i because you're worried about his ribs and you think he's going to have limited game time or something like that, I get that. Fa'asua Malawi to Isaiah Papali'i, I get that one as well.
Say it again, mate.
Which one?
Fa'asua Malawi.
Fa'asua Malawi to Isaiah Papali'i. Yeah, I think that trade, I mean, it, you know, it's going to cost you about 150K, but it's going to pay off for you because I don't see him being left out of the starting lineup. Even when he was on the bench, though, he was getting he was getting 50 plus minutes at 1 PPM. So, you know, it's a pretty handy guy to have in that round 13 buy, that's for sure.
It is break even -7 as well. So he's going to earn you a heap of cash. And then, as I said, you've got the Broncos and the Bulldogs coming up, and there's going to be tries in that. Both teams are horrific. More so probably the Bulldogs, who just look like a New South Wales Cup side this year. It's a pretty sad state of affairs there. One guy that I did want to raise, and given that lineup, I know that people are talking about, and we're going to come to him turbo, but don't sleep on Clint Gutherson now, particularly if you're looking to be trading out a Pappy or even jumping ship on Tedesco. Gutherson has to be in the equation. He's just playing some really good footy this year, scoring a heap of points. I think over the past month, he's at 87, 81, 74, 103, and now he's got the Broncos and the Bulldogs. So I'm tempted. I'm very tempted in just going through with Gutho. I know that that everyone's going to be jumping on Turbo, but boy, that run that he's got, I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, he's just one of those players. He's a bit like RTS in a way where he is always around the ball. He's pushing around that ruck and he's always looking for it, and he always looks likely when there's, you know, when the opposition's on the back foot running backwards and trying to defend. He's just always there or thereabouts. And when they have a blowout game, which is, you know, they've got points in them, para. When they have a blowout game, he tons. And he's just one of those guys that I think, you know, he could be in that round 13. He could be the difference between, you know, you kind of sitting in the middle of the pack and really making some ground up in that fullback position. But have I got the balls? Don't know. Because I said this about RTS in the preseason. He's averaged 82 over the whole time, and I didn't do it. Mm. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm seriously considering it, mate, but we'll see. I am going to make a trade because I think that fullback position is just, there's too many points there just to leave the likes of a Papenhuyzen on the bench, and who knows what happens and how many weeks he's going to be out for as well. And just Parramatta's run is just really, really solid. They've got Broncos, Bulldogs, yeah, they've got the Roosters, but then they've got Warriors and Manly. So I'm pretty keen to maybe be jumping on the Gutherson train. And also,
that's interesting.
Yeah, well, he's gonna miss this week. He could miss the week after Pappy, I know.
Yeah. It's a bit of catching that for you. I didn't consider that, but there's, yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I think his injury, I think someone was talking about, I think NRL Physio said that with his arm in a sling, while he's got that neck thing, he was saying it could be up to 2-3 weeks. So if that's a 3 week injury, 900 grand on your bench, you know, you got to start thinking about that in terms of what that could mean in other positions for you. So yeah, I think that's quite a good move, man.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously he had that 200 point score, which has just driven that price, but his break even is at 134 now. If he comes back, when he does come back, he could play the Rabbitohs in round 9. That's probably a best case scenario, or maybe the likely one. Also, the Sharks have been playing really well. All he needs is just a sub 60 score, and you're going to be getting that price is going to be coming right down. And then he'll play Origin, of course. So, it's something that I'm probably a move that I need to make. There's just too many points at fullback. And we've got some great options this week. All right, mate, we've digressed a little bit. Let's keep rocking and rolling through. So I think that's it for me for the Eels. You've got Dylan Brown back for suspension, and Will Smith drops out. That's pretty much it. Anything else you want to add?
Just Wurrimu Greek. He's a prop that's kind of he's come over from North Queensland. He played in the All Stars game and looked really impressive there. He's come onto the bench for his second game, so he's just a bit of a watch in the background there. Not sure how safe a spot is, but it's always good to kind of have an eye on these guys in the front row if you're looking to downgrade, say in a week's time.
So for the Broncos, they've made quite a few changes as well. New signing, Danny Levi, what are they doing? By reports, he's been playing well, but I'm not too excited about that. So he comes straight into the side, I believe. I think that he's actually going to be on the number 14. I think the NRL.com one is a bit wrong here. I had Asiata starting in the reserves, but I will double check that. So if Levi does start on the bench, then that has a significant impact on the middle forwards, I think, because then on the bench you've got Bullamore and also Jordan Rickey, which can play on the edge. So that could be huge for the likes of a Matt Lodge and also Payne Haas.
I think it's good for Tevita Panga as well. I mean, that's 80 minutes for him, I would imagine, unless there's some major shakeup.
He played 80 minutes last week, but in I guess what something I did pick up, I think his base points per minute's been about one, even in those really reduced minutes in games, and he's still been managing just to pump it up in the middle. Last week that dropped back to 0.5. Without that try, that's a 40 point score.
Yeah, wow.
So I'm not convinced, and I sold him last week, and I tell you what, I was sitting in that corner where he scored that try. I turned to my wife and I just said, "Oh fuck, I've made the wrong move." But thankfully, just didn't really get involved. He did some awesome stuff, but the base really dropped down. Obviously, didn't get the line break there. Played a really good game, I thought, on the edge. So I don't think they'll move him out of that. You've got Ricky who replaced Glenn, which was surprising. And then Bullimore can play, I think, anywhere there. He can play through the middle or on the edge. So it'd be quite interesting to see. I think that he looks like he's obviously going to be going through the middle with only Flegler, the noted one named on the bench. And just confirm your NRL.com. You've got Levi at 14 and you've got John Asiata in the number 20 jersey. So that's some pretty big news.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anything else there from the Broncos, mate? I think the only player there that I just want to flag is Matty Lodge. As you said before, and I think I raised it last week on the podcast and in the team's analysis and wherever, but super impressive over the past couple of weeks. He, and particularly last weekend, I think that's probably the best game I've ever seen from him in a Broncos shirt. He just was the leader of the pack and played really, really well. Interesting.
He came out in the media. Sorry, I was just going to say, he came out in the media through the week because I know Walters was pretty scathing of some of the efforts that he saw the week before, sort of thing. And when he dropped Milford and all that sort of stuff, he came out and he said, "Well, you know, they should be being held to account, you know." Blah, blah, and it was like, "Well, okay, all right, you know." He's obviously putting himself out there as like, you know, he's not one of those guys, and he looked like a leader out there. And I started the season with Lodge, and when he got injured, I actually had other problems, so I've just held on to him this whole time. And so I'm actually playing him over Tokaoho this week because if he can deliver the same thing again in the middle for me, I'm more than happy with that. I think that's, he's going to deliver plenty of value. He's $336,000 now. It's not too late to jump on there. I think he's got at least $100,000 to make if he keeps playing like that.
And he's a start, and you can start him in your 17, I think, quite comfortably. He's averaged 52 points per game, 45 minutes. I was actually really surprised. He played under 40 minutes last week. That really shocked me. I thought that he was on for quite a lengthy bit of time. But Yeah, I think that if you strap for cash a little bit, he's definitely a solid option. We'll cover you for 13 as well, which is a plus. The other guy that obviously to talk about quickly is just Payne Haas, and I think he's got a break even in the 90s this week, and next week he's just going to be cherry ripe for picking just to strengthen your front row forward position.
Yep. I'll just wait on Haas till he's at that point. He's one of those guys who'll end up being in the top three front rowers by the end of the season. So, I mean, you know, in terms of average. So it's just about finding your time and hopping on when the time's right.
Indeed. All right, mate, let's just have a very quick break and then we'll come back.
Sweet. Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, we're back and we're going to jump straight into the Sharks versus the Bulldogs game. This is at Nostradamus Jubilee Stadium at Sydney at 5:30 p.m. Saturday. Okay, interesting what's going to happen here. The Sharks have got your boy, Sean Johnson. So he's been named on the bench in the number 15 jersey. And not sure what's going to happen with this side. Will Kennedy's been playing really well. Chad Townsend's also been playing well. So is Matt Moylan the one to drop out? What are your thoughts?
It's really hard to know whether this is, it just reeks of a team that's going to change a hell of a lot before the starting whistle. So if you're kind of relying on things to stay as exactly as they are, you know, that might be a little bit risky. But I don't know. I can kind of see him maybe coming on and playing a Benji Marshall role, where Marshall's kind of this guy. He's a utility that's ready to go. If anything happens to the halves, he slots straight in. If not, he comes on at lock and he just floats around in the middle there looking for his opportunity. But I'm not exactly sure how they're going to use him. And Achilles' injury is pretty serious. It's like it affects your acceleration, it affects your power. But if he's ready to take the field, that means that, you know, he's fine in all of those departments. So you would think that it would be a case of, you know, once they get a few points on the board, then he comes on for someone like Matt Moylan. I mean, it's, you know, it's no disrespect to the Bulldogs, but if they get up to a good start and they're up by 20 points at halftime, I think that's what we might see. I think he might come on for Matt Moylan. Will Kennedy's safe as houses at the back. I don't think he's at risk of losing his spot at all, certainly not to Moylan. So it might be just a case of easing him in, and then next week, you know, they might take a closer look at where they want to put him. But it also wouldn't surprise me if there's a late change to the list as a whole, because it does seem very weird to see him on the bench.
Yeah, you make a really good point there. The other player I'd rate or just want to talk about quickly is Teague Wilton. So that's just incredible, hey? So he ended up playing centres last week and didn't really impact his output at all, 59 minutes. He's shifted into the second row this week, still while Wade Graham is out of the side. And then Aiden Tolman is out, suspended, and we've covered that. Anything else from a Sharks perspective before we move on? I mean, just pointing out that Will Chambers is on the reserve, so he could be a late inclusion as well.
Yeah, Wilton's a good is an interesting one for those who got on. There was always question marks over how, you know, how long he was going to be there. But I suppose, you know, he is very tempting at the price, but just because of Wade Graham and not knowing when he's going to be back, that's a bit of an issue for me in terms of buying. The other guy is Talakai. He had his first game last week on the bench, and he played through the prop position. So ideally, we'd want him on an edge where he can be one-on-one with people and crash in over for tries a bit more. But he's named on the bench again, so I think he's a wait and see, and you know, just see what happens there, because he is available at centre wing. So he's someone that I've got on my watch list a little bit. I'm just, you know, kind of waiting to see what happens with him from a positional point of view.
Yeah, mate, dual position, second row forward, center wing, break even with 74 at the moment. That price is going to drop, hopefully. So, it's going to be interesting. The other player that performed really well last week was Nakora, finally. I can't remember the last time that he smashed a big score like that. So he turned up with the try. So, and he's come straight into 80 minutes on the edge. So he knows where his spot is in that side. Let's move along to the Bulldogs. We're not going to spend very much time here at all, mate, I don't think. So we've spoken about Hetherington. He's out. The one player that I was very interested in, but I don't really like this shift, is Luke Thompson. So he played quite well last week, started lock with Josh Jackson out, but he's now going to replace Hetherington at lock. What are your thoughts on that? Does that kind of hurt his potential output?
I don't know. Luke Thompson's one of those guys that I kind of I feel like he's just that little rung below. It was similar to James Graham, not just because he's English, I'm not having a go, but he's, you know, it's just, I think he's just that little rung, below. So I don't know. I'm not tempted. It's also the Bulldogs. You're never quite sure of how they're going to go. I'm not that excited by him. And there's also, you know, mass changes this week in this outfit. You'll notice there's in the second row in particular, there's been a bit of a shake up. There's been some guys moved out. And I just, you know, when you're not performing and you're not getting the results that you want, sometimes the coach can start throwing his toys around and moving the furniture. And when it comes to Bulldogs forwards, I'm never 100% secure in what I'm buying. But you know, Luke Thompson's he's a reliable player that you could play in your 17. But he's not for me.
So scores of 83 and 65 since returning from injury. First game was off the bench, 50 minutes with the try. The second game starting at lock, 56 minutes, 65 points. I mean, that's taken my interest, particularly the second game with 57 base, awkwardly priced at 452K, and now being named prop is probably a player that I've shifted from being a buy for me this week. Corey Waddell takes Thompson's number 13 jersey, and then Chris Smith moves to the second row. I don't know. Is there anything else we really want to talk about here from a Bulldogs perspective? I'd say that it's hard to get too excited to the Dogs, but I would say that Watene Selezniak has been quite good in real life at fullback, but you can't be picking. I don't think you can pick him, although he's available at centre wing, 400K. It is a little bit tempting.
No, I can't go there. He's never been relevant in the past. The only one that I was looking at was Tuis Palotu-Katoa, who plays. Playing on the wing.
Good.
He is 235K, a break even of negative 15. So
Bulldogs winger though, mate, can't do it.
Mate, I hear you. And they don't play 13 either. So you know, that for me, if it was an extra, you know, man with a pulse on round 13, you'd kind of go, well, you know, I'm getting some value plus I might get an extra person there. But he's none of those things. So I think there's better options.
Let's move on to the next game, which is the Cowboys versus the Raiders, Queensland Country Bank Stadium at Townsville at 7:35 PM.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. And it is time for some breaking news, and we'll do this over the outpost. Paul Kent has just announced some huge, huge news that the superstar Chad Townsend has just signed for the Cowboys. That's just massive. Their premiership is only another 20 years away. What are your thoughts, Anton?
Well, I just think he'll suit a big belt buckle. I think it'll suit his hairline. I think it'll suit
that
his
hair, neck. Mate. That hair was made for a Nakubra.
Yeah, he's got a Mick Ennis hairline where it's just completely straight and all his features look too close together. It's just it's not his fault, but it's just how it is. And
it's going to be beautiful. He'll be pairing up with Anthony Milford next year. It'll be Jason Taumalolo. He'll be playing at the Sharks. It's going to be magic.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Exactly. Jason Taumalolo, you know, with his two broken hands.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll probably never play another game, retired. I know JT's listening. And anyway, so let's go on to the Cowboys. What's going on there, mate? They've won two games in a row. What is going on? Where they're coming up against the Raiders. The Raiders are struggling. They made a ton of changes. Can they do the unthinkable this week and get a third win in a row?
Mm.
Nah, it's an easy answer, mate. No.
Well, I don't know. I think there's something afoot with these Raiders, but that's maybe another discussion. But I don't know. When you look at the lineup, you know, I don't know if that's a roster that should be threatening the Raiders. It's, you know, at first glance, there's not a lot of people on that list that I'm that excited about, to be honest. But Condon is obviously someone that a lot of people got on last week. Like, he's 259,000, break even of -39.
Still pick him up, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it looks like, you know, I think a lot of people were saying, well, you know, there's players to come back. There's this, then that. Maguire's gone, you know, and Taumalolo is
basically
a Tyrannosaurus with his little hands now. So
there's no one on the injury list. There's none. Their roster is that shit that they've got a full side there, except for JT, Morgan, a couple of other Origin players and internationals. But who cares? Who's counting? Condon, he got Maguire left. I think that played 71 minutes last weekend, which is a great sign. 260K. If you're not an owner yet, I still reckon he's a buy.
Yeah, absolutely. A break even of -39, you can't really go wrong. That's you know, you're looking at a price rise of at least 100,000 if he just takes the field for 50 minutes over the next 2 weeks. So, like, yeah, I couldn't hold anyone away from that trade. He doesn't play 13. I mean, I keep saying that, but, like, you know, it's kind of round seven now, and I have got one eye on that. But you know, that's obviously holy grail if you can get someone who's going to make you money, allow you to cash up someone else, and also serve a purpose in that round where we're looking to make up a few spots. So, but yeah, he's very, very hard to ignore at the price, 259K.
Yeah, I agree, mate. And I tell you what, it's time that we need to start talking about Valentine Holmes. So I think he's one of a couple of really good center wing buyers this year. Since round one, he scored a shocking 20, but after that, averaged 70 points per game. He's goal kicking, plenty of attacking stats there. You've already mentioned the Cowboys won't cover round 13. He obviously won't with Origin duties, but surely he has to come into calculations for the center wing.
Yeah, he's a bit of a pot, isn't he? Like, most of these fullbacks now, they like, the system seems to have kind of cock-blocked us from centre wing. But they this is one guy who is, you know, a genuine CTW option. And, you know, if he's playing fullback, then, you know, it's pretty tempting. I'm not going to go there just at the price just yet. I can see why a lot of people would. And I think, you know, it could be one of those really rewarding plays that kind of helps you out, because if you're running guys like, you know, Charlie Staines and, you know, Simonson and guys like that, the sooner you can get guys like that out of your side and someone who's got a bit more of a ceiling to them, because their ceiling's about 40, well, not Staines, but certainly Simonson, then yeah, I say if you're lining someone like that up, then pull the trigger, because, you know, it's decisions like that help you get that point of difference.
All right, let's move along to the Raiders, mate. There is heaps of changes going on there. They've been axing to Origin stars to internationals. It's all happening. So Josh Papali has been dumped, and so is Tuppany as well. Tuppany started the season really well, but he's dropped in price by, just having a look now, I didn't realize this much, 150K, huge. It was one of the guys I had in my side, probably in my last draft before, just not. But moving him out, and after that round 190 or 100, whatever his score, I was just like, oh, I've missed him. But it's been very poor since. Soliola is also out of the 17. Brian James returned. He was rested last week, we think, due to a head knock. And Emre Guler joins him in the front row. Ryan Sutton moves from prop to lock. Corey Harawira-Nera and Corey Horsburgh come into the side. So those boys have been missing for pretty much the entire season after being some. What have they been, mate? I think they got in a fair bit of trouble. They were being bad boys, and now they're back for their first game. Skipper Josh Hodgson, so he's done his job. He's increased in value by almost 100K. He's going to miss about 2 to 3 weeks. So if you're holding on to him, he's definitely a sell. You've got Simpkin there, and that's an easy downgrade. Tom Starling does start at hooker. Bailey Simonson, we've spoken about concussion. He's out. I would like to know if he's going to come straight into the back into the side, because Sebastian Chris, who replaces him on the wing, hasn't been too bad. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. Jesus, there's a lot going on, mate. How do we break this one down?
Well, I kind of, I, you know, when I read this team list, I went straight back to the Ricky Stewart sort of press conference where he was flaring his nostrils as he normally does, kind of going like, you know, just thinking like, how do I not get fined here? Okay, this isn't about the refs. Right. This is my guys. That's how I do it. And he went, you know, kind of, there's a bunch of guys here who are basically NRL pretenders. You know, they're putting it on the jersey, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get the job done. I was like, oh, who's he going to drop? I was thinking, he's not going to name names at the press conference, but we're going to know what the hell's going on when we see this team list. And then sure enough, you know, we see, you know, Joe Tarpany's like out. I think, you know, Papali'i's like on the bench. There's just a few of those names where you, if you were to read this team list in round one, you'd be like, who's picking that? You know, why is Emre Gula starting at prop when you've got guys like, you know, Soliola and stuff in the non-playing reserve? So I don't know. He's clearly making a point here. This is a game where he's kind of saying, no, these are our standards. This is what we expect. This is the kick up the ass you guys are going to need. We're going up to Darwin, and I'm going to play the guys who I think are going to get the job done.
Massive kick up the ass, mate.
Yeah, Hadawira Maida scored a try last week, I think, in the Reggies, and he's been knocking on the door. So he's also a really good player. So it's hard to know where they put him because Whitehead plays 80 minutes. Maybe he comes on at lock for Sutton. I'm not quite sure. Hudson Young's been playing really well as well. You know, their back three's not really the issue in the pack, I don't think. But this also reeks of something that could change on game day as well. You know, it's one of those ones where if I owned any of these players, I'd be a little bit anxious about starting them, and I'd kind of probably have them on my reserves ready to switch them out if I needed to, as opposed to in my starting side.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. Probably want to stay away from the Raiders at the moment. Okay, let's jump along to the Tigers versus the Sea Eagles at Bankwest Stadium, Sydney, 1:45 Sunday. Could be absolutely cracky. You've got you got Turbo day game, and then you've also got the Tigers with David Nofoloma, who's finally getting some form and dropped in price lovely, and is a player that I'm definitely considering for this week's game. Let's go with the bad news is Kapoa out with an ACL. So that's shocking. You never like to say it. He's been replaced by Michael Cheekham in the centres. Joey Leilua, he's on the extended bench. I think he was almost to a close return last week. The important thing here is that Jake Simpkin has remained in the starting side, and he'll be one of the must trades in next week, you'd probably think. So it looks like it's a relatively consistent side there. And the three players to talk about for me is Nofo, Simpkin, and Stefano. He's starting again at prop. And for those a little bit short, in front row forward this week, I think you can just plug him in there and hope for a 40 to 45.
Yeah, Tokomanu's is one of those, you know, huge big bodies. He kind of runs a bit like Payne Haas. He's got quite long legs and he's really strong through the hip. Yeah, it's just a minutes thing with him, but you always kind of feel like he's a chance of some kind of attacking stat. He's a good guy to have. I've had him since the start. Simpkin, I went early on last week, so he hadn't played a game yet, and I went early on him because I'd been watching him in the Reggies, and I just thought, like, you know, he's just one of those guys who I think once he gets his chance, he's not going to look back, sort of thing. And we saw that last week. He got about, I think it was just under 60 points all through base.
He's bigger. He's a bit bigger than what I thought, hey?
Yeah, nuggety guy. And I think if he can get some attacking stats, you know, that's almost like Jaden Brayley styles, you know, where you've got your 55 as your floor. And then anything up from that is a bonus. So I've actually seen some people throwing around the idea of trading a Jaden Brayley to Simpkins and freeing up about, like, you know, almost 500K. It's, you know, the output could be quite similar, but the fact that Mbai's on the bench is a bit of a worry to me. I don't know where he's going to go and whether he's going to take minutes off Simpkin, but I'm actually going to play Simpkin in my 17 this week because I think he's...
Yeah, not a bad shit.
He's a chance of some attacking stats, and that he didn't get any last week, but I think he's a genuine chance this week and maybe even a little pie for himself.
Interesting. Yeah, you're talking Mano. I'll be playing him probably, depending on what happens with TKO, I think. And, I wouldn't be going just rushing to bring in a front row forward if you've got him as your emergency, but you can definitely do a job there. And Nofo, mate, he's the other guy that's definitely on my radar. So he's been performing really well over the past 3 weeks after a couple of sluggish scores. So 100K cheaper than his starting price, scored back-to-back 70s, and then they've got Manly, Dragons, Titans, Knights, Warriors, and the Dragons again before, and this is the important one, facing what should be an understrength Panthers side in round 13. So I think he has to be close to the number one centre wing target for the week.
Yeah, I actually love the Tigers' run that they've got all the way through to Origin. So any of these guys, except for Cheekam, some people might see him in the starting side now and go, oh, I'm going to jump on him. But I just think Leilua comes straight into that spot as soon as he's fit. So don't be fooled by that. I know he's really cheap, only 203K, second row only. But Sean Bloor is also due back probably next week. And he's a similar price. So if you're looking for someone in that second row around that price who plays round 13, he's your guy. Don't fall for Cheekam.
I agree with that. I've fallen for that trap before. Let's jump into the Sea Eagles, and it's all about Tommy Turbo, isn't it? Wow, he is back. Just, I can't recall, and maybe you've got RTS, so you kind of know a little bit how it is like, but just how a side revolves around one guy. It is just absolutely incredible. So 116 points, just played the 72 minutes as well. Not too much base, which is not always what we expect, but a try, set up a few line breaks. I mean, I was listening to this game on radio and I swear it was just all Turbo setting these boys up. Put Saab over for two and then Saab could only manage 44 points. So that just goes to show how useless he is at Supercoach. But Turbo, mate, is priced under 600K, which is crazy compared to what, if you look at a Pappy downgrade trade to Turbo, geez, it's going to bank you some serious cash for upgrades going forward. And I can really see that that's going to generate from a points bonanza as well. The only thing that is worth considering is that they do face the Panthers next week. And then you've got your boys, the Warriors. Broncos should be a better game than the Eels, but he won't cover round 13. So that's the one. So I can see that he's going to be a really popular trade-in day game at Bankwest, which is a fast pitch, has all the makings for a turbo ton. And against the Tigers, you don't really know what side's going to turn up. But is he someone that you're looking at, or you just you can't make that move?
No, I think if you look at what's going on at fullback, right, if you've got no Mitchell, no Pappenhausen, you've got Tedesco that's kind of a little, you know, kind of waiting to hit that form again. And then I would struggle not owning a Tom Trbojevic this weekend. I would struggle to have anybody else back there and be hoping that he doesn't score high, because that first 35 minutes against I forgot who it was now. Who was it last week?
That's a really good point. They played the Titans and absolutely demolished.
It just looked like a knife through butter, and you just thought like, He completely changes his entire team. And, you know, he was on about 90-something points after half an hour. And, you know, there are people saying, like, he's gonna break the all-time record. And I just thought, like, well, sometimes he does this, and then he scores 20 in the second half. And that's kind of what he did. But, I don't think I want to be one of those guys who's trying to death ride him over the next few weeks. So I'm going to be bringing him in for Luttrell and not looking back, to be honest.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. I mean, still, just looking at the two draws, comparing the buy coverage and everything, I'm still and Gutho could make the New South Wales squad. But, I still, for whatever reason, have a gut feel that Gutho's just going to go bonkers over the next month. So I have him just ahead. And Gutho is far more durable, touch wood. So that's kind of where I see him. But I think you've got to pick either one of those two this week. Anyone else in the Sea Eagles that you want to quickly touch on?
The other, there's a couple of guys. So Paseka starting is an interesting one. He looks like a really good player. I don't know if he's that viable at his price. The other guy is Olakau'atu, who starts on the edge.
Holy moly!
Yeah, exactly. For $245,000, break even of 29. Obviously, Surinen's still to come back. We don't know what that's going to do to Schuster. I think Schuster holds his spot no matter what. I think he's been almost best on park for Manly every week since he's played. So he's a little bit like Isaiah Papali'i, where I just don't think that they can lose him from the side. So even when Suurinen returns, it's probably going to be, you know, Olakau'atu who makes way. But at the price, he's kind of interesting for me. But he's only played one game, so I think we can take another look and see what happens next week.
I think that's it. Let's move out of the Seagulls, mate. Roosters versus the Dragons, which is a very interesting game. Teddy, what do we do? He's been down. Well, I don't think we've seen this before from Tedesco in about 15 or so months. We're not used to these sub 80 scores, and that's what he's done over the past few weeks. So 74, 74, 57, 40. The one thing that I would just highlight here is you got Brett Morris back this week, and I think that potentially is a bit of a bonus for him. Teddy set up Morris for a couple of tries, probably going to happen against the Dragons. Teddy loves the SCG as well, so I can see him playing well. This is an afternoon game. I think this has all the makings for a Teddy fight back game. I can just see that it's going to happen. People are going to trade. Yeah. The one thing that I do want to highlight just before we move on to all the changes is that Adam Kieran is out, and that's potentially big news for Tedesco, because if Tikio is potentially managing a bit of an injury, a rib injury, does that mean that he doesn't kick and Teddy takes the goal kick?
No, I still think that Takeaho kicks while he's on the field. That the rib injury probably wouldn't stop him from doing the goal kicking. I think the biggest thing for Tedesco this round is actually Sam Verrills being named a hooker. A lot of the work that Tedesco does, where he breaks the line and goes, rips teams apart, is actually quite close to the ruck. He throws cutout balls and stuff to wingers as well. But I think not having a genuine hooker in the middle has been what's been really affecting him quite a lot. So I think having Verrills back, even though there's a guy on the bench there, is going to be really big for him. And I think this is the week, and I kind of feel sorry for the Dragons, but there's just a few things lining up in this team list that I kind of go, oh, this might be the week that they actually find their feet again.
I have a sneaky feeling that a few coaches are going to be hitting that delete team button or throwing whatever at the TV, maybe their shoe. I don't know what people do these days, but they're going to be a lot of angry people on Anzac Day. He's going to be fired up, I reckon, and could be huge. Moving on to the team changes outside of that, Brett Morris is back. We said that. Verrills, you've spoken about him. They've also, and he pushes Marshy to the bench. Adam Kieran is out of the squad, and I do think that is quite big for a couple of things we've already spoken. Victor Radley is right now facing the tribunal, so we might not catch that. I think he's only just walked in, but he could be facing a three-week ban. Waria Hargraves, his shoulder, and Tikau with a rib injury, but they've both been named. So interesting to see what happens with there. One player just to touch on, I think, and a guy that was pretty popular to start the season, but Tupanua, he's dropped in price quite a bit, hey? So he's now down to 341K. And you've spoken about Verrills. Teddy fires up, but this guy could go huge. He's had a four in round four, and that's seen his score. He's scored his plummets because you've got a 29 and a 48. So that price is so cheap. So he's a player that I would consider, but I'm just struggling with so many other issues this week.
Yeah, so I'm actually bringing him in this week. I have Kurt Capewell in my second row still, and I've been trying so hard to get that him into my centre wing. Luckily, I've still got New on my NPR in my centre wing. So a trade from New to Tupanua actually makes me $10,000, and I can move Kurt Capewell into my centre wing, and I can put him up onto my reserves in my second row. So I'm making that move this week. I think, you know, this is the week where he flops over for at least one try. He's going to start to rise in price. I think he's completely bottomed out at the price that he's on. And I don't see any threats to his spot whatsoever. Lindsay Collins is actually on the bench, which is actually quite a big inclusion in terms of their middle go forward as well. He was a really big out for them, I think, the last few weeks.
I agree.
So I think having him back in the pack, and Waria Hargreaves, you know, there's nothing lost when they make their first interchange whatsoever. which are, unlike other teams where you make that first interchange and there's a drop in intensity, that's not going to happen on the SCG, and it's going to be a really fast track. And, you know, Satili's one of those guys who's just really athletic, and I don't know, I just think it's worth it at that price, especially when you've got, you know, someone who's about 340K sitting in your centre wing who's not doing you anything. You might as well put it up in a forward, or, I mean, if you've got the flexibility. But even if not, you know, say you've got someone who's kind of stinking it up a little bit, you know, I think it's a value trade that you can only really win from, whether you play him in your 17 or not. I think even just for the upside, it's worth it.
Yep, I don't disagree. Do not disagree at all. I'm sorry if I've destroyed your pod move for this week, mate. But, yeah, I think he looks very well priced. Let's move along to the Dragons. So not too much really to talk about here, apart from Ben Hunt has been named on the bench, and there's not really anything else worth discussing. I do just want to make quick note to Zach Lomax, who is falling down quite well in price. So he's decreased by about 60K now, break even of 72. He's going to be cherry ripe next week. You've got a game against the Tigers and then the Bulldogs. So he's a player certainly on the radar. We'll cover round 13 and comes up against the Broncos there. So is he someone that you're looking or planning to bring in?
No, not yet. Not till I see it. A little bit of a change in the Dragons. I think there's other value buyers there, Norfoluma and guys like that, that are just a bit further up on my agenda. And there's someone else who's coming up, but I won't shake my Christmas presents early. There's another guy I want to talk about a little bit later on. But yeah, the other thing is as well, Williame has got to be the worst utility I think I've ever seen on a bench in my life. I don't know where he comes on and adds value. I think he came on and knocked the ball on, or he was offside with his first touch against the Warriors in the weekend. But that's a very strange call for me, having Williame on as your number 17.
Yeah, well, I think there's been a few of those floating around the traps over the past couple of years. Supercoach killers they've been, but yeah, I know that a lot of us had him, but that certainly changes things a little bit with their bench structure, I guess. But there's just not that many other relevant Supercoach players at the Dragons. So let's move along, because we've been cracking on for over an hour here, and let's move to your boys, mate. It's finally time. It's finally time. So I'm actually going to let you run through the team changes, mate, for your boys with Slice of Heaven in the background.
All right, so welcome to the Warriors versus the Storm, Sunday the 25th of April at Amy Park in Melbourne at 6:15 p.m. So obviously Peter Hicker is out with a shoulder injury, Adam Pompey's got a knee injury, and Paul Turner's got a shoulder, all around injured, and David Fusatua hamstring returns on the wing with Marcelo Montoya moving to the centres. Murchie takes on the other centre spot, and Bailey Simonson with a shoulder injury returns off the bench. Warriors signing Reece Walsh is on the verge of being handed a fast-track debut for New Zealand's injury toll adds up, although he's missed 17 for now, and instead included on an extended bench. I mean, that sums it up. The injury.
Can I just say, mate, you've done an absolutely cracking job, except you've just completely ripped off the Daily Telegraph Supercoach comments there. So I think you need to be sending a message to Rob Sutherland after this and just going, thank you for giving some content for the podcast.
Thanks, Rob. You know I love you, and I appreciate everything that you do, which is why I'm adding this little footnote. There you go. But
I actually think that it's a very lovely little man crush that you two both have on you. It's beautiful to see.
I've got a lovely respect for Rob Sutherland. Absolutely, how could you not? Charming man.
He's one of the best, mate. Absolutely one of the best.
So yeah, I mean, with the Warriors side, like, you know, there's obviously massive carnage in the outside backs. So this was always like a game of guess who, you know, like what's Nathan Brown going to do? But I actually think he's come up with a pretty good combo here. Melbourne's obviously a very tough team to take on at the best of times, but you know, we've got Murchie in the centres, which would have been a surprise to some people. I know some people jumped on him after the Canberra game. He came on and played. He played big minutes because of injury, and he actually played in the centres, and he made a line break and set up a try, and he scored in the 70s or something. So I think a lot of people jumped on then, and then he was dropped for the Manly game, or I think it was, or last week's game against the Dragons. And that saw an opportunity for Curran to come on. And, mate, last week he killed it. He had 50 tackles. Played 80 minutes, and he like every touch, every carry that he made looked really, really strong. So he's earned another starting spot there.
Would you be going early on him?
No. But so Sirinen is the guy that I'd be a bit worried about. So
yeah,
Sirinen has been training a little bit at hooker. So if there's no injuries whatsoever, he will probably come on and spell Wade Egan for maybe 20 minutes. But every single game this year, there's been someone who's gone down with something. So you know, I think Murdoch Masilla doesn't play 80 minutes at all. So as it currently is, he'll probably slot into that kind of second row position. Harris might come off for Tavanga when he comes on, and then Afoa and Almao will play through the prop rotation. But very similar to what we saw last week, there's not really many changes there. But obviously, instead of Paul Turner, we've got Sirinen. So Sirinen can play in a number of positions. A lot of people were expecting him to maybe be even named in the centres instead of Jack Murchie, but you know, Murchie's shown that he can do it through what he's done in the past, so he's been given a crack there. The other person is Hayes Perham, who actually signed with the Parramatta Eels tonight.
Yeah.
He's just been announced that he's on his way there, which is obviously not at a great time for us because he's been playing for the Dolphins at centre and he's been doing quite well there. So we could have used you, bro, but don't worry about that. Enjoy your time at Parra. That's fine. No sweat.
Papalihi and him rocking around. It's good.
Waving from Bankwest. Hello. Yeah. So I actually think, unlike last week where I read the team list, so I was like, there's absolutely no way that's going to be the way it is. I think this is going to be almost without a doubt the way that they run out. The only question that I have is Fusatua, who is they said he was managing a hamstring sort of complaint, but I think I called bullshit on that. I think he was just dropped, and if that's the case, he'll run out. But if I'm wrong, then we may see a first game for Reece Walsh, who's obviously the boom kind of fullback replacement for RTS. And even apparently through the week, RTS said to the coach when he was training with him, he said, like, if you want me to play out of position, I'm happy to give him some minutes. He thinks he's that good. So we are going to see Reece Walsh soon. It may not be this week, but it will be soon. And unfortunately, he's gone into the system as fullback only. Can you believe it?
That's a bit crazy, hey?
That's annoying.
But very annoying. What are your thoughts on Dav Fusatua, mate? He's been absolutely horrific this year. Obviously, can't play him against the Storm this week, but surely the tries have got to come.
He is the Warriors version of Jason Saab this year. Honestly, like he's not getting in position. He's not getting the ball from the halves. The last time he had a really good season was when Sean Johnson was on his side and was just feeding him just really good flat balls on the chest and pulling him over. And he's not going to get that from O'Sullivan and Nikarima. And he doesn't do the work that Momalo does. Interestingly, that's the guy who I'm watching at the moment. He's low 400K. I think he's bottomed out. Last week was the first week I haven't seen him struggling with the injury to the sternum that he's had, where he was running slightly gingerly. He looked like he was back to his best. He punched out a high 50s score all through base. There was no line breaks or attacking stats. I think he's one of those guys who, if you've got him in your center wing, you know, to have a floor in the 50s or the high 40s, you know, that's gold. And I think for 400K, he's very hard for me to go past at that price. So I'm going to be I think the break even is kind of around 40 odd. So I'm going to have another look this week. And if the stars align, then I'm going to be jumping on next week.
Very interesting. Interesting. Let's jump on to the Storm. Are you okay? Can we move off you boys now?
Oh, we can. The heart rate's down. Yeah, I'm all right.
Thanks. To the beautiful intro we had there. So the Storm, the huge news is Pappy's out. I think NRL Physio had raised that this week, which is making me very nervous, and I don't really want to have 900K on my pine. Missing 1 to 2 weeks, and I think they'll be very cautious with him. There's no reason to be rushing him back in. Important to note just how small the guy really is as well, and he does miss this game, we've said, and then it's games against the Sharks and South. So challenging games there. So I think that it's not a bad time to jump off if that's your play. Nico Hines replaces him at the bench at fullback. Dalfinukin He returns to the interchange, and that's interesting for Welch. So we'll see what happens, because I know that Welch has been performing really well, and that was definitely a trade that has hurt me, although I turned Welch into Fifita before he's 150-odd. So that one's going to be interesting. I'd be a big watch there. And Harry Grant has been named on the bench as what he's been doing, coming off playing that 50 to 60 minutes. Kenny Bromwich as well has been named. Both of those guys suffered HIAs last week, but passed concussion tests. But they've both been named. There's a bit going on here. The news about Pappy, I mean, we've spoken about that quite a bit. I'm an advocate for a sell. What are your thoughts?
I just think, well, for me, I'm going to hold just because I don't know the severity. And I've been doing the double trade every week type thing. I traded out, you know, James Tedesco a couple of weeks ago for Pappenhausen. So to trade him again, it just feels like I'm going to rip through all of my trades if I keep doing that week to week. So if it's 1 week, I can handle that. I can cover that. I'm resting guys like, you know, Siwa Toke Aho this weekend. So like I've got cover if I need it. But yeah, I'm happy to hold. But I can at that price, I actually didn't realise that was the price that he was. I can definitely see a trade from him to Gutherson. You know, that could allow you to move Fasu Maliawi up to Tohu Harris or something in one go. And so, you know, I can absolutely see the reason for doing that. And then, you know, you might find in a few weeks' time that he's quite a similar price to Gutherson anyway after the buys. But I don't know. There's just something about him this year. The way he plays and puts his body around it, he's just like he's lightning. And I would hate to not own him because I started the year not owning him, and it sucked.
Agree. I mean, I will be bringing him back at some stage, but I think it's just too much money. And like what we saw with Teddy, not what you did, I'd probably make a case to do that. Harry Grant has just been absolutely sensational since returning. He's another player you just hate not having in your side, and he's a player that I'll absolutely be targeting. But we'll probably wait until after Origin. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's annoying because when you think like, oh, he's going to have a small game here, maybe he's going to drop a bit in price, and then he goes and scores a try and a line break and stuff, and you're like, oh. Like it's just that extra bit of coin that I can't quite upgrade that second. I've got Simpkin as my second hooker right now, and I've got, you know, Jaden Brayley as my first one, so I'm not in a position to really move them to Harry Grant right now, especially with Origin coming up and that. Just the timing's wrong, I think. But absolutely, he's a target for my final side.
Anything else there from a Storm perspective that you want to cover, mate?
No, I don't think there's much else. Finucane is a big inclusion for them, I think. He's one of these guys who, you know, he doesn't seem like he does a lot on the field, but I think that since the loss of Cameron Smith, having these experienced guys out there is a really big thing for them in the middle. He's gonna, you know, he'll be running into Tohu Harris, the former teammate. So there's gonna be an interesting clash in that middle section, which I'm looking forward to. You know, these sides have a traditional rivalry. So on paper, it doesn't look like it should be close, but we've often taken them down to the wire and really pushed them and stuff. So I actually think this will be a great game to finish the round on.
Indeed, my friend, indeed. And I just got to say, you've done an absolutely cracking put in a cracking performance tonight. It's an hour and 20 minutes, and there's been some legit analysis here. We're not quite used to that on the SC report. You generally got JT and Lakey bumbling on about some kind of trot, but it's been a very good, strong performance from you. You're going into Anzac Day all pumped up, mate, and you've performed very well. So thank you for that. Before we sign out, just on the Pappy news, I think it's important to note as well for Munster owners that hopefully that means he's goal kicking and goal kicking for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, actually. I'm a Munster owner, so I didn't see that potential upside, but I will happily accept that one. Absolutely.
All righty, buddy. Well, thank you again very, very much. It's been a ripping ripping podcast. I've actually really enjoyed this one. I might get you on a few more times. But thanks, everybody, for downloading and streaming or whatever you do it. And we'll just let's go out with a bit of Dolphins Man at Slice of Heaven. Hey, I got a lot of faith in you. I'll stick with you if that's the bottom line. Yeah, yeah. Fun.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.